We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s. We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the ballads, the rock tunes, the songs we all dance to, the girl groups and boy groups, solos and doo-wop. He talks to the stars of the stage shows and sock hops. We listen to Ronnie. Ronnie remembers the oldies, the 50s and 60s.
Hi, everyone. This is Kathy Linden. And I am so pleased to be interviewing my favorite DJ, Ronnie Allen.
Kathy, I really appreciate that. And yes, that is going to happen, but not right now. See, Kathy, this is the show where I'm going to be interviewing you.
Ow.
Oh, okay. Are you ready?
Sure, Ronnie.
Okay, Kathy. Well, I can't think of a better way to start than by playing this song, Billy, that everyone who was listening to the radio back in 1958 is familiar with.
Oh, when he walks, oh, when he walks, he always walks with Billy, for Billy knows just where to walk. And when he talks, he always talks with Billy, for Billy knows just how to talk. He always dines with Billy. He takes away, she gets a fill. And when she sleeps, he always brings a bill.
That was Billy by not Kathy Linden. In fact, that wasn't even by a girl singer. You see, the song was written in 1911 to be performed by a male singer. And the recording you just heard, you didn't know that, huh? Wait a minute, I haven't introduced you yet, officially. And the recording you just heard a little of was by the American Quartet, featuring, appropriately enough, and maybe not coincidentally, a man named Billy Murray. Well, there's a lot more to the Billy story, and there's so many interesting facts about my very special guest, whose music I have admired immensely for about 56 years, and whom I have often dreamed of one day interviewing. And right now, my dream is about to come true. Drummer, are you ready? It is my pleasure to welcome to this very special show, Kathy Linden.
Thank you, Ronnie.
I am so happy to have you talking about your career. You were born in New Jersey, and you were raised in New Jersey, is that correct?
Yes, yes I was.
A Jersey girl.
A Jersey girl.
A Jersey girl. And this,
right.
This interview show is on the website, Jersey Girls Sing.
There you go.
I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey.
I was in Burlington, was more South Jersey, closer to Trenton, Philadelphia area.
Before you started singing, or I assume maybe around the same time you started singing, you began playing the piano. How old were you when you started playing the piano?
I was 6 years old, but my mother said by the time I could barely walk, I was reaching for the keyboard.
Oh.
I was trying to reach up for the keys, but I started taking piano lessons at age 6, Ronnie.
Classical, I assume, right? I mean, is that with the scales and everything?
Just about everything. You know, you start out with pink, 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 and you end up, you could be doing classical, pop, whatever, and I wanted to do show tunes and compositions and all that kind of thing. So as time went on, I just was so engrossed in what I was doing as a young artist, so to speak, that I was open for anything that my piano teacher gave me, and she wanted to give me a lot of classical. So I have to admit that I started with that.
Did you like playing those scales?
No.
I don't know anybody that does, actually.
Not really.
You started playing the violin at age 12?
Yes.
Were you also singing around that time in addition to playing those instruments?
Actually, I was. My first vocal that I ever sang as a solo was at age 11. I was in school. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you a funny story. There was a boy in the class that just hated me. He was always teasing me and trying to upset me. And after I sang that solo that day with the teacher playing the piano, it was a Merry Widow Waltz. After that, he totally changed. He was following me all around, bringing me candy, flowers. He was, no kidding. It's like it was a miracle. And I said, I think I'm supposed to be singing.
The Merry Widow Waltz.
Yeah,
is that
honest,
the one that goes,
beautiful.
Da, 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 da,
uh-huh.
Da, da, I know that
music
song.
Music swaying, sweetly saying, I love you. Yeah, that one.
So you won his heart.
I won his heart.
You were doing so much in school till you were singing in chorus.
Uh-huh.
Playing the violin.
Yep. Uh-huh, in the orchestra, yeah.
Okay. Did you take private violin lessons, or were they...
I had a few, Ronnie. I didn't stay with it because I was obviously also on piano. I could only do so much. But I did take a few. We had a wonderful music teacher, and I mostly learned from him. And we did a lot of rehearsing and so on. So, you know, it was great. It was in class, but the music teacher taught us.
You also sang with a string quintet. And what were they called?
The Singing Strings. Yeah.
Now, what is a string quintet? Are all five people playing different string instruments?
Yeah. What we had was two violins, and I was on one, and then we had piano, and then we had the cello and bass. And we all sang, but I was the actual songstress. You know, I was the one that did all the solos and all. But we sang together, we played, and we were actually pretty good. So we were going all around, playing at all the different functions and wherever something was going on. And this was mostly in New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
And you also wound up in New Hampshire.
Actually, it was the University of New Hampshire Summer Youth Orchestra
mm-hmm.
and choir, and I was in both. And that was an experience I will never forget as long as I live. I loved it. It was a huge orchestra. And it was something that just made me realize that I wanted to get serious with my violin.
Is it true that actually if you're playing violin in country music, you're a fiddler?
Yeah, more of a fiddler. Yeah, I think some people would say, no, it's still violin.
It's still violin.
Yeah, but they call it fiddling, I guess, because they do.
It's really the same instrument then.
Yeah.
You actually, at one point, were considering majoring in violin
I started the Philadelphia Conservatory of Music around 1957. At the same time, I was going to the Philadelphia Modeling and Charm School. And I don't know why I was doing that. I guess I just thought it would be a good thing for my age to have that kind of training and develop very nicely as a full-blown woman. But I did start Philadelphia Conservatory, yes. And I was getting into theory. I was getting into taking the violin very seriously. But something happened, Ronnie.
What happened, Kathy?
Well, I was singing also. Well, I was a very busy girl. I sang with a small band in a restaurant in New Jersey. In fact, it was in Somerville, New Jersey, around 1957. And I was singing songs that, you know, it had to be you, it had to be you. You know, that kind of stuff, Stardust, whatever was popular at that time. But a lot of Doris Day music, too. I love Doris Day. When I Fall in Love. You know, that kind of thing. So there was a songwriter that happened to be in the audience. He was in the restaurant, and he heard me. And he knew Joe Leahy in New York City, who had a national records company. It was called National Records. And he asked me if he could take me to New York to meet Joe Leahy because he thought there was something really special in my voice. So that's how I got started. He took me to New York. I met Joe Leahy.
Mm-hmm.
And he let me sing for him. He tried different numbers with me and so on. And he signed me up that day.
What was your first single that you released?
A song called It's Just My Luck to Be 15.
That title sounds familiar, and the reason it does is because I interviewed the Ponytails, and they did the same song.
That's right.
Not,
by that time, I didn't know, but it did sell 35,000 copies. I think
know?
It was mostly in New York where, you know, we had put them out to the disc jockeys, and they played it, and from what I heard, of course, I don't know if it's not etched in stone, but I think I had heard, I even read it, I think, on YouTube, that it was kind of a beginning of a hit right away. But then the Ponytails came out with it, too, so it's kind of hard to say.
It probably was a split play. And
yeah,
as a result,
kind of.
Neither one became a hit. But
right.
I love your version of it, and we're going to play it right now. This is our lead-off Kathy Linden record on the show. From the year 1957, here's Kathy Linden with It's Just My Luck to Be 15.
My love. dream. It's just my luck to be 15. I can't help wondering if I will ever be 21. As far as I can see, I'm missing so much fun. But after all is said and done,
Ronnie Allen, pleased to be talking to Kathy Linden. You just heard, It's Just My Luck to Be 15. Good song. How did you get signed by Felstead Records?
Well, they either approached Joe Leahy or he approached them. I'm not sure which way it went when they heard about my song, and they probably heard it. They were interested, let's do more with this girl. And so in that little thing that was going on between Joe Leahy and Felstead, I ended up signing up with them.
You were signed by Felstead Records along with Joe Leahy.
Right.
And Joe came up with this brilliant idea that maybe he could make a hit record with you if you sounded like somebody else. So please tell me about this and also tell me how you felt.
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you and everybody out there. I didn't know anything about Wee Bonnie Baker. He did.
For those who are not familiar with her, I'd like to point out that Wee Bonnie Baker was a very popular singer with a childish voice that was described this way, like a tiny silver bell, soft but tonally true. She sang with Orrin Tucker's band from the late 30s to the early 40s, and her best-known recordings included Billy and You'd Be Surprised. Wow, that sounds like another singer. So I assume at the time that you had not heard her recordings.
I never heard her. I don't think I even wanted to at that time because we were doing things that were more up to date. You don't want to go back too far. Anyway, so he came up with the song Billy and thought I sounded somewhat like Wee Bonnie Baker, but I was supposed to use a more girly voice to be able to do that. So I did. We recorded it, and I became the Billy girl.
But at the beginning of the show, we heard a little bit of the song Billy as done by the American Quartet with lead singer Billy Murray, originally a male song. Did you know that that song was originally written for a guy?
No, I did not know until you told me.
1911.
That's amazing.
You knew about Wee Bonnie Baker's version, though, after Joe told you about it.
Yes.
And we're going to hear just a little bit of Wee Bonnie Baker right now.
For when I walk, I always walk with Billy, 'cause Billy knows just where to walk. When I talk, I always talk with Billy, 'cause Billy knows just how to talk.
Wee Bonnie Baker's version of Billy. And right now we're going to hear a different version of that song. And Kathy, after I play this, I'm going to ask you the $64,000 question. Who's the guy on that record? But right now, here it is. What am I about to play?
This is Kathy Linden singing Billy.
For when I walk, I always walk with Billy, 'cause Billy knows just where to walk. And when I talk, I
That was Kathy Linden singing Billy. And now, who's the guy that opened and closed the record doing all the bump, 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 bump? Who's that mystery man?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you're doing that. I don't think I would have wanted to make that sound. But actually, it was Joe Leahy.
That was Joe.
Joe was a very famous arranger, orchestra, conductor. So, I mean, he did massive stuff. But anyway, yeah, that was his idea, and that was him.
Wee Bonnie didn't have that part of the record, so this was kind of a catchy 1958 type of a sound that just worked so well. Did you feel that you were actually doing your own singing style or that you were imitating Bonnie? I mean, what was your perception as you were doing that record?
Good question, Ronnie. I didn't feel like I was imitating Bonnie because I'd never heard her. But I know I was asked to sing more of a soft voice, you know, a younger sound. And I was okay with it, but I kind of realized, well, wait a minute, this isn't me. I'm recording, and it's going to go out there to the world, and that's not really my voice. So I was a little bit not too happy about that. But when it became a hit, well, you don't knock hits.
True. And it became a big hit, getting to number 7 on the Billboard magazine national chart. And you are now officially a recording star.
Yes.
I assume you did some of the TV shows back then?
Oh, very much. Yes, I did a lot. Everybody has to do Dick Clark, for sure.
Right.
And did a lot of radio, a lot of interviews
That's great.
These things.
You did American Bandstand and the Beechnut Saturday Night Show?
Well, I did the Saturday Night Show and a lot of the daytime shows also, even in Philadelphia, yeah. It was really fun.
And what other shows did you do?
I did Lawrence Welk, I did Steve Allen, I did Ed Sullivan. Even Jimmy Rogers had a special on, and I did a show with him. I just want to tell you that they were all great. Steve Allen, incredible man. He was absolutely the most talented, wonderful guy. I was thrilled to have met him.
Lawrence Welk asked you to do something in order for you to be able to perform Billy on his show. He asked you to make a slight adjustment to the lyrics?
Yes. He didn't want me to say, and when I sleep, and when I sleep, I always dream of Bill. He wanted me to say, and when I dream, and when I dream, I always dream of Bill. Now, Lawrence Welk was a very proper gentleman. So, he was protecting me and the show.
Gee, so you had to do no sleeping and a little bit more dreaming.
Right.
Wow.
So after that, I always felt kind of funny when I heard it the other way around again.
I am Ronnie Allen, and I am delighted to be talking with Kathy Linden. We just heard her very first big hit single called Billy. She was the Billy girl. That's right. Kathy, I have this CD. I will reveal the title later in the show. For now, I'll tell my listeners that it has 34 of your recordings. Looking at these song titles, you recorded so many songs about boys. Oh Johnny, which was originally done by Wee Bonnie Baker, and Billy Is My Boyfriend, in addition to the Billy song we just heard. Then Goodbye, Jimmy Goodbye, which we're going to hear momentarily. Well, if you did Goodbye, Jimmy Goodbye, you would have to do another song called just Jimmy. Of course, yes.
Of course.
And then Mary Lou Wilson and Johnny Brown. Oh, Johnny Brown. I don't know if that's the same person. Probably not.
Probably
songs.
Not.
Yeah. And then Elmer's Tune.
Oh, yes.
He's the guy that invented the glue.
Uh-huh.
That was funny, right, folks? Elmer's glue. Okay, Elmer's Tune.
I have to tell you about Steve Allen a little bit more. Steve Allen was the man that wrote most of the boys' songs on the LP that I had out that time, called That Certain Boy. And you know what else I found out?
That
when I did his show, somebody told me that his wife had just had a baby and she named her baby Billy because she loved the song.
Wow.
I know. I hope that's true because I heard it and I remembered it and I never forgot it. But I was so honored.
How do you follow up Billy? How about with another song that Wee Bonnie Baker also did? And this one was called You'd Be Surprised. Another old song, by the way, from the year 1919, written by a guy who was a pretty fair songwriter. His name was Irving Berlin.
Boy.
He did all right. He had a couple of hits, I know. And what can you tell me about You'd Be Surprised? Was it a song that you liked the first time you heard it?
I did. I thought it was cute, and I think that someone had told me that Wee Bonnie Baker had done it. Of course, by that time, I knew who she was, and I liked the beat. It kind of lifted you up when you heard it. It was a happy song. It was like, you'd be surprised, and I liked that. I thought that was kind of fun.
Do you know what a Morris chair is? M-O-R-R-I-S?
No, I don't. Roddy, what is a Mars chair?
That's what you'd never ask. Well, a Mars chair was first marketed around 1866. It's kind of a recliner. And what does that have to do with, you'd be surprised? Well, in addition to Wee Bunny Baker, Marilyn Monroe also recorded You'd Be Surprised. And both of them recorded it with the line at the very end, in a Morris chair, you'd be surprised. Now, we're going to listen to the Kathy Linden version right now, and you don't sing about a Morris chair. It got changed to an easy chair. I have a funny feeling that Joe Leahy probably said, you got to change that to easy chair, because nobody's going to know what the heck a Morris chair is. Does that make
sense?
That's
right.
He's not so good in a crowd, but when you get him alone, you'd be surprised. He isn't much at a dance, but then when he takes you home, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look like much of a lover, but don't judge a book by its cover. He's got the face of an angel, but there's a devil in his eye. He's such a delicate thing, but when he starts into squeeze, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look very strong, but when you sit on his knee, you'd be surprised. At a party or at a ball, I've got to admit, he's nothing at all, but in an easy chair, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. He doesn't look like much of a lover, but don't judge a book by its cover. He's got the face of an angel, but there's a devil in his eye. He's such a delicate thing, but when he starts into squeeze, you'd be surprised. He doesn't look very strong, but when you sit on his knee, you'd be surprised. At a party or at a ball, I've got to admit, he's nothing at all, but in an easy chair, you'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised by Kathy Linden. Now I surprise Kathy. I'm going to let you hear a portion of You'd Be Surprised by Wee Bunny Baker. And Kathy, I believe you probably never heard these words.
On a streetcar or in a train, you think he was born without any brain, but in a taxi cab, you'd be surprised.
Oh, boy. No, I'm glad I didn't have to sing that, Ronnie.
You think?
Oh, that is sad.
Well,
I'm glad he changed it.
Joe Leahy changed that, too.
I wouldn't have done it. No, I wouldn't have wanted to do that.
But you didn't have to.
No, thank the Lord.
I'm Ronnie Allen. So pleased that Kathy Linden is here sharing her musical memories with us, like this next one. Billy was a record that made the top 10. And right now, the record that should have made the top 10, and it came as close to the top 10 as you could possibly come without making the top 10. You got to number 11 with a beautiful ballad written by a disc jockey who was also the program director of a station called WNAX in Yankton, South Dakota. His name is Jack Vaughan, and he wrote a song called Goodbye, Jimmy, Goodbye.
Well, Ronnie, it's one of my favorites. I love the Western flavor. I guess I think of myself more of a country Western singer anyway. I loved Goodbye, Jimmy, Goodbye. I was so happy to be doing that song where I could use a little bit more of my own voice. And love the song. It got me a little bit away from the Billy, You'd Be Surprised theme. So I can tell you that when Goodbye, Jimmy, Goodbye came out, I was a happy girl.
Goodbye, Jimmy, goodbye.
Goodbye, Ronnie. Goodbye. Ronnie? Ronnie, are you there? Ronnie?
Oh, it's the record over.
I'm here, Kathy. I'm here. I was doing something else, looking for the next page of my script. But not to worry. I found it. I got it here. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll remove this from the interview, of course. Okay, here we go now. Let's get real serious. 3, 2, 1. Goodbye, Jimmy. Goodbye. And that was Kathy Linden, the recording artist with a soft voice. But not on this record coming up.
Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I ask you out there, do you think you know girls? Do you know girls? Do you know girls? Why am I asking that question? I think Kathy knows why I'm asking that question, because the song I'm about to play is called You Don't Know Girls. This is a louder Kathy Linden, isn't it?
Yeah, I had to sing with a little more voice on that one, Ronnie. It was a cute song. It was a peppy song, and it got some recognition, so that was good. Yeah, it was okay. But not one of my favorites.
Not one of your
okay.
favorites? Okay, we'll no. move on. No, we're going to play it anyway. Because actually it did make the Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 92, and it was your follow-up to Goodbye, Jimmy, Goodbye. Very different sound. Who's the guy that's talking at the beginning of the record?
Now, that I can't answer. I think this was some hired man.
But it was not Joe Leahy.
No, it could have been the guitarist. It could have been the bass player.
Two of the usual suspects.
It could have been anybody.
I'll introduce it this way. Here's the man who could have been anybody, along with Kathy Linden and You Don't Know Girls.
If a girl is in love with you, and she says she'll make the whole world seem new, if you think that this she could never do.
You don't know girls.
If a girl is in love with you, and she says she'll make the whole world seem new, if you think that this she could never do, you don't know girls. If a girl says that in her eyes, you're the one where all of her future lies, if you think she tells it to all the guys,
Another Felstead recording by Kathy Linden, You Don't Know Girls. You were on Felstead for a while, then you switched to Monument Records. How did that come along?
Well, when things were kind of not moving too much after, you know, we had the Biggies on Felstead and things kind of settled down, I was kind of hungering for a country sound. And Fred Foster brought me into Nashville and signed me up with Monument, and we started doing more of the country music. What I loved about Fred, he had such great feeling for that kind of thing, like he did with all his other successful people, like Roy Orbison, etc. He realized that I needed to be taken away from the wee Bonnie Baker sound and just be able to be myself.
You had the privilege to record at RCA in Nashville. A couple of people who recorded there, Roy Orbison, who you just mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And someone named Elvis. The king,
the
king of rock and roll. So it had to be a fabulous experience. You were so lucky, Kathy, where you had the backing of the top musicians and the Anita Kerr singers. Anita Kerr did most of the arrangements.
Love her.
Right now we're going to hear one of those recordings that you did in Nashville for the Monument label, a song called So In Love With You, kind of a rock and roll, Kathy.
You know what's so great about that song that gives me great memories, Ronnie, is that when I recorded that, I had people that were on the session. I had Chet Atkins, Floyd Kramer, you'll hear Boots Randolph on the sax, and Bob Moore on the bass, and it was just beautiful how God put that all together for me.
The musicians were the tops of the tops. They were as high as you could get on the ladder of musicians.
As high as you can get on the ladder. I'm not kidding you. They were so natural. They were so encouraging. They treated me like a queen. The Anita Kerr singers. That's how we came up with So In Love. They wanted to try me on a real, you know, let it go kind of song, more of a rock and roll.
Kathy, So In Love With You. What a great sound. And now, we are really going to switch gears with this next one. Also recorded in Nashville and also on the Monument label. A pretty song called That's What Love Is. And Kathy, I know it's one of your favorites.
Yes.
And it has an additional significance, which we'll mention after I play it right now.
Your heart for my heart, your sigh for my sigh, your kiss for my kiss, that's what love is. Your hand in my hand, your smile with my smile, your lips on my lips, that's what love is. This feeling of pride as I walk by your side, my heart just can't conceal. But the most precious thing is this wedding ring, by which a bargain is sealed. My prayers are your prayers, my dreams.
What Love Is was a 1960 recording, and who knew back then that it would eventually be the title song of a 34-track CD anthology of your career. I believe it came out around 1994. The CD contains most of your early Felstead recordings and also most of the tracks from your only album entitled That Certain Boy, which was in fact the Felstead label's first album release. Now, That's What Love Is also includes your later recordings from Monument, RPC, and Capitol. And boy, Kathy, you do sing about a lot of boys. Namely, in order of the tracks, there's Johnny, Billy, Jimmy, Johnny Brown, that's a different Johnny, Elmer, Sandy, Georgie, Harry, Mike, and a partridge in a pear tree. Is that still available?
Oh, yeah. You can get it on eBay sometimes. You can get it on Amazon. It's still there, yep.
That's what the CD is. That's what love is. Go west, young girl. Go west. That's what you did in 1961.
I moved to the West Coast, to Woodland Hills, and I kind of drifted away from the Monument and the Felsa and all that kind of thing back east.
And when you were out west, the first release that you had was on a label called RPC. I think this is the only one that we're going to play on this show that you wrote all by yourself. Put this ring on my finger.
I just wanted to start writing, and I've done a lot since, but that was my first.
I think Joe Leahy had something to do with that record.
Yes, he did.
Was his orchestra on that one?
Yeah, and he had his arranger that did all the writing of all his arrangements come up with that particular arrangement, although the whole style of the song really was originally my own arrangement, and they just capitalized on it and got it going for me, and I loved it.
composition, Put This Ring on My Finger. Kathy, you mentioned that they sort of capitalized on your arrangement, and speaking of capitalizing, shortly after that release, you signed with Capitol Records.
They came to me, and I was offered a contract, and so I started singing with Capitol Records.
You sang a duet with Glen Campbell, but I don't know if it was ever released.
It's heartbreaking because, yes, we did. It was called Troubles Back in Town.
Right.
I don't actually remember the other side. Somehow I don't have that because the man that was actually producing that particular recording session with Glen Campbell left the company. The record that we made was canned. It was a great song, but the record was put on the shelf. So I've been very sad about that. It was a wonderful recording. And I don't know where it is now.
Right now, we have a 1961 released Capitol recording called Words.
I love this song. And it has the Floyd Kramer piano. It wasn't Floyd Kramer, of course, but there was a man that brought in that could play the Floyd Kramer sound. So that made me love it even more because I love Floyd Kramer's music.
Linden, who is right here with me. We're not in the same room. We're talking by phone, and Kathy is somewhere out west, and I'm somewhere here in the east, and we're reminiscing, and I hope you're enjoying this, Kathy.
Very much, Ronnie.
And right now, we're going to talk about Shane.
We're going to talk about Shane?
Is that okay? Can I talk about Shane?
Oh, yes. Oh, my love of my life.
Who is Shane?
Shane was my favorite horse. I had three horses in my lifetime, and Shane was the one that was brought to me at a time when I was looking for a personal horse, a very personal horse. And he came to me, he was ready for the horse factory.
Oh,
and
Shane.
His spur was falling out, and he was bent over. He couldn't get to the food because he was so easygoing, the other horses would beat him out. So somehow this man wanted to take him to the horse factory and become horse meat. And I heard about it and I talked to the man. I said, please let me have him. And he did. Well, I started grooming him. I got him on all the different, you know, hay and grains and carrots, you name it. And he just started putting on weight, and he became beautiful. He had a lovely blaze. And I took him to my horse trainer, and I said, tell me about my Shane. I need to know, what is he? Is he Western, English, what is it? So she worked with him, and she found out that he was an English riding horse. He'd been trained. She could tell by the reins how he reacted.
Oh, I see.
So naturally, I went riding the English saddle, which I love because that's what I would ride on when I was back east, living back there, and I'd go out to ride horses, rent horses, you know.
Right.
Well, anyway, he was my baby. I loved that horse. I still have pictures of him all around. I'll never get over my Shane. I just loved him.
And over the years, you had three different horses?
Yeah, I had three horses. We had an Apache horse, you know, the Pinto kind of look, and there was another one that I had. At one time, it was a dressage horse, and I bought him from the owner, and I couldn't do dressage with him. He was my first horse, but he was a wonderful horse named Dude, and I used to ride him all over the mountains there in Woodland Hills with a lady friend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was a lovely horse, and one time he went down in the mud, but he never threw me. We got came up back up together in the mud.
Right.
He was that kind of a horse, and Shane was the same way. He never threw me, ever, 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 and I loved him.
And I want to point out that riding on an English saddle is more difficult than a Western saddle. You have to do everything precisely right, like if you're trotting, for example. I found that out when I took horseback riding lessons. I could
you
never...
Did.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
I had a very sore, you-know-what, because I didn't trot exactly right. I needed you to be my trainer.
Right.
But you weren't around at that time.
No, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
There was nothing that made me feel better off than being off the horse.
Off the horse.
Exactly.
And I couldn't be on Shane enough. Yeah. I just wanted to be on him all the time.
You were actually living on a ranch in California with your husband and three sons.
That's right. Dave and Chris and Jim. It's actually Dave's the oldest, Jim is in the middle, and Chris is the youngest.
Now he's Jim, not Jimmy.
Well, it was James, but we called him Jimmy. And it kind of fitted in, yes, goodbye Jimmy, goodbye. But also, there was a relative in the family that had the name James, and my husband kind of wanted to use it anyway. He loves it. He loves it when he hears his name mentioned in mom's songs, you know. That's my mom, she's singing about me.
You have had a very impressive musical life. And you've had a certain amount of time away from pop music. I know how important it is that you became a born-again Christian.
Well, I knew, even as a young girl, that God had his hand on me. I think really one of the reasons why I was taken out of the show business arena, if I may be so blunt, was that God was calling me to something else, Ronnie. The music in my soul, the music that was a part of my life, because I had a tender spirit, I guess, and God wanted to use that. I was able to, we call it getting saved in 1975 in a church, and I knew a change had happened to me. I knew I was different. You just become different. And so my life as a Christian caused me to start writing gospel music and singing and leading worship. And even though I wasn't Kathy Linden, I was who I was, you know, and I was doing what I loved to do because God had called me to do that. And so I had some of the most beautiful experiences since I became a Christian. I could write a book. I had healings. I've had so many things happen and protection. So my life changed, and so I have to give God the glory for that.
But the one thing that did not change was your interest in music. Music remained a major part of your life.
That's right. I was a piano teacher. I opened up my own piano studio, and
oh.
I was still doing things like that. You know, I was still in the music, so to speak, and doing a lot of writing, and I was leading worship and things like that in churches.
And you also visited other countries as well.
I had the extreme pleasure, Ronnie, that was a blessing to me I'll never, ever forget, to be able to go with my church group to Israel and Rome. And while we were in Israel, I have to tell you one funny situation. I have it on a video. The Israeli army, I guess you call it the army, was going by our group. They're in Old Town, and they were marching along, and I decided, well, we're filming this, so I'm going to do something really funny. I got right in the middle of them and started marching with them and waved everybody.
Oh,
of course, I moved out of the way quickly, trust me, but they were laughing. The guys were laughing. They were great. They didn't mind. They knew what was going on. But I have that on my video.
Why don't you put it out on YouTube and it'll go viral?
I should. I really should. I think I'll get it all
put And then it'll be, who is that lady?
That's marching with the Israeli
marching.
Army.
This was around the early 1990s or so, is that about
1993.
Right?
1993.
And how long was the trip?
About 13 days. It was a very interesting trip. It was wonderful. It was exciting. I was actually able to lead worship on the boat, on the Galilee for my church group, and also all the important places that, you know, you go to see. it was wonderful, the Garden Tomb and Gethsemane and down on the Jordan where people were being baptized, things like that. So it was an experience that I can never say enough about.
We're going to go to prison right now. Okay, if we go to prison?
We can go to prison. It's a good experience.
Let's go to prison. Johnny Cash went to prison a lot, didn't he?
That's right.
He did okay.
I do.
So my listeners are asking, what's this all about? Well, I'm going to tell you. I understand, Kathy, that you worked in some capacity in the prisons of Southern California for several years. And what exactly were you doing?
Well, see, this all happened after I became a Christian. I was taken by a little church group, and we went into maximum security. We also went into minimum security. And it was quite an experience. But I'll tell you, meeting with the inmates, you don't meet them personally. They're right there, guards all around. And I was on the piano, and of course, all these pianos were so out of tune, and they were plinkety-plunk with keys missing. And so at that time, I was just learning faith a lot, and I prayed over the piano. When I would sit down to play, it came out not too bad. In fact, the prisoners, the security guys, and all they were saying, what happened to that piano? It doesn't sound like the one everybody plays. It was something, I think God touched it. Something happened. People said it sounded great. And when I played it, it just rang. It was so beautiful.
You have a special wooden artwork from one prisoner.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me what that says?
Well, this was in a minimum security, and I was very close to the chaplain, and I would sing. You know, I would lead worship, but then I would also sing a special and all these kind of things every time I went. And it was like at least once a month we went to the same one. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, these wonderful guys, these inmates, wonderful men, they made a wooden plaque which said, Kathy, our Lord's singing angel. That's sweet. No, I love
nice.
It. I have it hanging in my den.
You worked at both minimum and maximum security prisons.
Yeah.
What was the biggest difference in terms of your experience with that?
Well, in maximum security, you go in and they take your license and there are guards all around and you get put in a cage. Not like an animal. It's just a regular cage.
Oh,
it's an elevator.
Okay.
So you get put in the cage, and of course I had, you know, my pastor and other people there too with me, and guards. There was a guard always with us. And then we were taken up to whatever floor, and then we were let out of the cage, and then we were brought into the auditorium where we were able to perform the services. You knew you were in maximum security. You just knew
because of the cage.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
You were not allowed to even wander from any part of that cage unless the guard was leading you out and in. The other one was a very minimum that I had the plaque made where I could actually talk with the guys. I could easily go off the stage and talk with the men, and it was wonderful. And then I also did some women's prisons, too. It's so hard to explain, Ronnie, and if anybody's listening that knows the experience of it, I would tell you that these people that would come to the services, they were hungry. They wanted to hear more of hope. They wanted to hear about peace and blessing, and they were loving, and they were precious, and they were growing, and it was the sweetest thing I've ever been through.
I have an appropriate song right now, kind of stream of consciousness, if you will, a song that you recorded about a jail, which was called
Allentown Jail.
Anything in particular you'd like to say about this particular song?
Well, the fact that is so many men that have been put in jail have done some things that were just trying to help family or a wife or children. And so it's kind of a sad song about this guy that was put in prison for stealing a ring to give to his fiancée. It's a charming song, very touching.
Waits in Allentown Jail. dance for you, mister. I'll sing you a song.
La-la-dee-da.
But more than that, mister, would surely be wrong. Oh, more than that, mister, would surely be wrong. For can't you see my love stole a diamond, a beautiful diamond, to give to me.
Somewhere in Allentown jail, my heart waits in Allentown jail.
You'll find none like him, though you search the world round.
Around 1985, you appeared on a show called The Joy Program. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
On the Trinity Broadcasting Network here in California, they had a program. Jim McClellan was the so-called speaker and the announcer, like a disc jockey, but only on the tube, you know. And he had a program called The Joy Program. And he found out I was Kathy Linden in the church that I was going to. And he said, Kathy, would you come and give your testimony on my show? And I said, Jim, I would love to. So at that time, and I have it all recorded, I have it all on video, which I'm putting on disc, I was able to be interviewed. I was able to tell my story of how I came to the Lord. So I did three of the shows that went around the nation. I sang three songs on each show. It's all videoed. And as I said, I had wonderful experiences. God opened doors for me.
You recorded a couple of gospel CDs. Now, I don't believe they have been released officially, but somewhere along the line, they made their way around the world.
Yes, this was around 1997, and again in 2005, I made these two CDs. They were gospel, you're right. The first one was a CD that had a song, Shalom. I wrote a song called Shalom. Yes, Shalom. Hi, Shalom, Ronnie. Oh,
that could mean hello, goodbye, or peace.
It was peace.
Oh, it was peace. Okay.
Anyway, I made the CD in 1997, and Dr. David Das from India, Bangalore, has a home for children that he takes in off the street and all kinds of things that are saving children, and it's called Beulah Home. Anyway, the song Shalom that was on my CD was used for the children. When they get up in the morning, the first thing they would sing was Shalom. And then he wanted me to come to India, actually. I wish I could have, but I couldn't, to actually lead that song in his crusades over there.
But even though you couldn't make it, it's still out there.
They still use it. They still use the song.
Are you writing some new gospel songs these days?
Oh, yes. Country Western. I'm also a professional pianist. I have been writing compositions, pretty much doing that all my life, but I really prayed to God and I said, Lord, I really want to come up with some film-type compositions, whether they're Christian or whether they're secular, doesn't matter. Something really beautiful. I want to be a female Henry Mancini.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's great.
Well, anyway, so I started writing, and in just a matter of months, God gave me 7 compositions that are really film material. So I'm trying to find a producer that I can take them to and say, here they are, can you do anything with them?
Kathy, before we conclude this show, I have something very special to share with you. A few years ago, I interviewed singer Mike Clifford. and he told me why he chose to record his biggest hit record.
I'm so close to Kathy, I know just what she's dreaming of. She always calls me up to tell me. Every time she falls in love.
Close to Kathy was one of the songs I chose because prior to that, and here in L.A., I was in an acting class with Kathy Linden. Remember Kathy Linden?
Billy and You'd Be Surprised.
And Goodbye, Jimmy, Goodbye. I had the hugest crush on her. So when I heard Close to Kathy, it was my story with Kathy.
Your Kathy was actually C-A-T-H-Y. She spelled her name K-A-T-H-Y.
Right, but it didn't matter to me.
Well, Kathy?
Mike, I just want to thank you and tell you how much I love your music and your voice. And may God bless you in all that you do. I'd also like to mention Mike's friend, Phyllis. Phyllis, I wish the best for you as well. God bless you.
You know, we all have dreams, and one of my dreams was to do a show with you. This is something that I always hoped might happen, and it's happened now, and my dream has come true. I've just enjoyed this so much.
Thank you, Ronnie, and how blessed I am to be having this time with you.
We're going to close now with a song that I know is very special to you called Midnight, and that was on Monument Records.
Interesting. Midnight was written by Chet Atkins and Bulow Bryant. Bulow was one of the top writers of country music. I love it because it's another kind of a Goodbye, Jimmy, Goodbye, only with more voice. You know, the train's going down the track. I lie awake thinking about the guy. It's a very tender song, and I know somewhere and somehow it was played in many jukeboxes even after I left the field for a while as Kathy Linden. And a lot of people tell me they still hear it, and this is a blessing to me. I love the song.
Midnight, I've been another lonely day.
That's the show. And now, a couple of bonus tracks by Kathy Linden. Here's one that she recorded for Capitol Records, and this song was a big hit for Rosemary Clooney. And I love the way Kathy does it. Here's Beautiful Brown Eyes.
I'll never love blue eyes again. Beautiful, beautiful brown eyes. Beautiful, beautiful brown eyes. Beautiful, beautiful brown eyes.
Finally, here's another song that was originally recorded by Wee Bonnie You-Know-Who. And of course, Kathy does it in her style. And this is from the Billy days on Felstead Records. Here's Kathy doing Oh Johnny.
All the girls are crazy about a certain little lad. Although he's very, very bad, he could be oh so good when he wanted to. Bad or good, he understood about love and other things. For every girl in town followed him around just to hold his hand and sing. Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, how you can love. Oh, Johnny, oh, Johnny, heavens above, you make my sad heart jump with joy. I'm so old, Johnny, oh, Johnny, please tell me, dear, what makes me